I've been asked to share my faith journey, 73 years of faith journey. It's hard to believe, in 5 minutes. So here we go. I was born, and as evidenced by my presence here this morning, thank you very much. Yes, I was born in 1952 into a Christian home. My mum and dad were very strong and dedicated Christians, born-again Christians, and they were deeply involved in the local Baptist church. So that was my scene in growing up. I did all the churchy things, Sunday school, Christian endeavour, morning worship service, evening gospel service, as they were called back then. Then eventually, as I got older, I got involved with the youth group, and that journey continued into serving within the church. I made my first commitment to Jesus at the age of 9, a profession of faith, not fully understanding it, but believing that Jesus wanted to be my saviour, and I wanted him to be my saviour. I was baptised when I was about 14, 15. Got involved in the work of the church through, became a deacon, Sunday school teacher, Sunday school superintendent, eventually youth leader, all of those things within the church at Maroubra. Then I also met Cheryl and got married. Just thought I'd mention that. And we had our first child, and we decided we needed a bigger house, and we moved to the Sutherland Shire. And we connected with Oyster Bay Baptist Church, and I continued the process of this journey of faith, walk with Jesus, and got involved with Sunday school teaching, Sunday school superintendent, youth leader, home group leader, worship service leader, all these things. Nearly had a nervous breakdown doing it all. But that was my scene. And in the process of that, I worked for 25 years with PMG Telecom Telstra, and then took a complete about face and worked another 25 years as a in full-time service as a Christian age care chaplain. And in that time, there were issues of health and well-being that confronted me in my youth or childhood. I had bronchial asthma that was triggered by a serious car accident with my mum, picking me up from school one day. And that continued into my adolescence and has returned again now that I'm entering into my second childhood. It's come back. But in that period of working and in both with telecom and PMG and chaplaincy, I found I had the words escaped me. This is the problem. High blood pressure, whatever it's called. There is a word, hypertension. I found out when I was driving home from. Well, I sort of assumed it and found out from that. Driving home from Baulkham Hills to Como, I was falling asleep while I was driving the car, and by God's grace, I didn't have any accidents, but I had sleep apnea. So I now go to bed, not with my wife, but with a machine. While I was doing chaplaincy towards the end of it, I had 2 minor heart attacks, which required 4 stents to be placed into my heart, but it also impacted my emotions to be able to continue a ministry in such an emotional environment of being with people as they're dying and being with people as they're grieving. I found that I was crying more than the families were when someone died, and they were asking if I was all right. So we decided that we'd downsize and we'd move. And we came to the Highlands. Yay. Been here nearly 10 years. And we shopped around for a church to call home. couldn't find anything we were comfortable with. And then my son, who had moved down here 6 months prior to us and was working as a chaplain in the Christian school, he called us up and he said, I might have a church for you. He said, it reminded me so much of what Oyster Bay was like when I was growing up. And I thought, wow, that sounds like it could be the place. And I thought, just as I was thinking and putting this together, what a lovely commendation for you. My son, my son gave a recommendation to say, this is a church that reminded me so much of the church I grew up in. Thank you. We came along, and from the time we walked in the door, we agreed with our son. The welcome was genuine, caring and interested in us as people. It wasn't just, oh, hi, nice to see you, go and sit down. It was genuine, and thank you so much for allowing Cheryl and I to call this place our spiritual home, and thank you, brothers and sisters in Christ, for deep breath, for being our family. But as a it wasn't a consequence, but it just turned out that way. Not long after we were coming to the church, I had a stroke. There were other factors involved, I think. There was a lot of stress as we were building a new house. We decided we'd go caravanning for 3 months while the house was being built, and all the arrangements of doing that, and then also working with the, what's it called, age pension people. What, Centrelink, thank you. I need prompting. Don't be embarrassed to prompt me at any time. And all of that just came to, excuse the pun, came to a head, and I popped a woofer valve in my brain. And I had a bleed and was paralysed down the right side. Now, I'll start my testimony. Where was God in all of this? God was in the people that invested themselves in me. My parents, my church home at Maroubra, the loving, caring people there, Sunday school teacher. He was a firm man, and he had an artificial hand in a leather, tight-fitting glove. I reckon it was made out of stainless steel, because the number of times that my hands were crushed by his hand coming down when I wasn't paying attention in Sunday school. But he was firm, and I mean more than firm. But he was loving, nurturing and caring, and had a deep impact on me. When I did make my decision to follow Jesus, a young lady that was in her mid to late teens was appointed as my counsellor and follow up. And she did so for almost a decade. And she just showed the love of Christ, the compassion, the care and the encouragement as a new Christian, even though I was only nine. What she shared with me and continued to share for the next 10 years or so, cards, verses and books for me to read. A youth speaker that came to our church or a camp, I can't remember, but he spoke about it. He gave his testimony and how dramatically he was delivered from drugs and alcohol and promiscuous sexual relationships when he was about 25. And I was envious of him. And I went up to him and I said, oh, wow, what a testimony. I'm so envious of such a dramatic deliverance from these things. And it happened over a matter of months that he was delivered from the alcohol and the drugs. And I said, I was just born in a Christian home and went to church and did all the churchy things and still doing those churchy things. And he looked at me and he said, if anyone is envious, it's me. And I went, why? He said, you were born into a Christian home. I was born into a broken home with a, an alcoholic father. He said, you had a loving Christian family, the church, that nurtured and encouraged you and had your back. I came from a broken home where I ended up living on the streets and no one cared for me. No one had my back. They only sought to do what they could to use me and abuse me. And he said, I wasted 25 years of my life before I came and found Jesus, or before he came and found me. He said, you have had all your life where you have been in the arms of Jesus. And then, that totally changed my perception of my testimony, of my worth in Jesus' eyes. That I had something to contribute, that God could use me to reach others and lead them to Jesus. So, the stroke, changed my life a little bit, just a little bit. When we came down here, it was going to be, It was going to be a new start for us and a new start for me, because I'd already been accepted as a driver, bus driver for the community transport, because I had a bus license. I also had arranged to be volunteer pastoral care at Harbison, and had already started doing that, visiting people in the nursing home, and then bang, the stroke came. All of that, gone. Or my sense of, well, that's how I was going to serve the Lord. Well, Lord, what am I going to do now? And it was just amazing. Having lost half my body's usableness, I never, ever felt abandoned. I look back and I see how God had been with me from day one, even though I wasn't aware of it, and how he walked with me all my life up to this point, to this moment now, and I know that he will continue to walk with me, and that I was able to look at this devastating medical incident in my life and still be able to say, thank you, God. Well, there were lots of tears. I broke down a number of times in hospital when I started biting my lips and biting my tongue and realizing that it was getting worse instead of better for the first few days I was there. And there were lots of questions, lots of whys. Why, Lord, why is this happening to me? Why do I have to go through this? Why couldn't it be Cheryl? I could look after her. I mean, I've gone through so much already with heart attacks and high blood pressure and everything. Cheryl's turn. But no, God said, you can cope with it better than Cheryl. Right, Lord. Thanks. So that was it. I could cope with it because God was with me. Jesus was walking with me. So I don't just have three legs. I have a Saviour that is walking with me. Look, I've got to share these last two things. Three books that meant so much in this journey with me that I received, most of them, in Sunday school as prizes. The first one is Pilgrim's Progress. Anybody read it? All the old people. If you can get your hands on it, there's even modern English versions now, and kids' versions, exactly. I don't know how many times I've read that book, and I've heard people say that apart from the Bible, Pilgrim's Progress could possibly be the next most important Christian book ever written. It is incredible. And I identified so many times with Christian in his journey. I've been in that slough of despond so many times, I think I'm going around in circles. And Vanity Fair, boy, did I struggle going through there. Those who've read the book know what I'm talking about. And those who haven't, you've got to get the book to know what I'm talking about. Second book, a biography on a fellow by the name of Hudson Taylor. Anybody heard of Hudson Taylor? Oh, there's a couple of youngies. He was the founder of the Chinese Inland Mission, and a man of faith. And that's what it's called, Hudson Taylor, man of faith. And how he went out, even being denied by the churches to go. He had no support. He went out, and just by faith, he established that. And the third writer and the book that he wrote, well, he didn't write the book. It's a gathering together of his messages and such. And he's a Chinese man, Watchman Nee. And the book that was given to me in my late teens, The Normal Christian Life, which was his exposition of the Paul's letter to the Romans. And wow, did that impact on my life, on how, where I stood with God through Jesus in the first half of the book,
or the letter,
to the last. Old age. And so I found that a massive influence in my Christian life as well. Because the second half, I didn't mention, second half is the practical outworking of what you are and who you are in Christ at the beginning. Okay, final. Three passages of Scripture that I have found to be so valuable for me in this journey. And this is where I'm going to fall apart. The first one was Joshua. We had Moses talking to the Israelites. Joshua's taken over now. Sorry. And he's talking to the Israelites as they have moved into Canaan, the promised land. And he's identifying all the foreign and false gods and saying, well, you can worship those if you choose. And he says in Joshua 24, but as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. I give thanks every day that my three children and their spouses are walking with the Lord. That's my greatest joy. And I continue to pray for my seven grandchildren that they will continue their walk with the Lord as they grow into adulthood. Paul, writing to Timothy, he's in prison, Paul that is, and he's just been talking about why he's there. And he says to Timothy in first chapter of 2 Timothy, he says, that is why I'm suffering here in prison for the gospel. But I'm not ashamed of it. For I know the one in whom I trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until the day of his return. Do you have that confidence? Do you know who you believe in? Do you have that assurance that he has you in his hand and nothing can take you out of his hand, and that you will see him when he returns? And that's echoed by Job of all people, when he's trying to defend himself to his so-called friends who are just accusing him all the time. He finally says this in Job 19. He says, but as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives and he will stand upon the earth at last. Isn't that our hope? And after my body has decayed, yet in my body I will see God. I will see him for myself. Yes, I will see him with my own eyes. I am overwhelmed by the thought. Are we overwhelmed by the thought that we know who our Redeemer is and that we will see him face to face? Thank you for letting me share. Amen. Amen. Our God is a mighty God, a deliverer. But he's also the shepherd, the kind shepherd, who leads us and comforts us when we need it. Thanks again, and I'm sorry about the time.